Caleb Williams speaks. We'll talk about that more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, Caleb Williams addressed the media today for the first time since the report 2 weeks ago that said he wanted to go to the Vikings because the Bears were where, in the words of his father, Carl, quarterbacks go to die. He gave us about 15 minutes today, most of which was spent him trying to, you know, put out a fire of his own making. How do you think he did?
I'm just smiling because I'm thinking of your question of, does your dad speak for you? Which is a very good question that you asked Caleb Williams, because his dad talks a lot and his dad is super closely associated with Caleb, not just because he's his dad, but I think he's his de facto agent, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's part of the reason I asked the question. Yeah,
absolutely. The Carl Williams platform is not going anywhere. But I was smiling because I was thinking, Pat, what would your life be like if your parents were constantly giving very public thoughts about your work situation and just life in general?
Yeah, and if they were also in charge of my paycheck, yeah, that'd be interesting. Or at least not in charge of my paycheck, but in charge of being an agent for me. Yeah, I thought it was about
did well.
What?
Caleb did well.
Yeah.
He did well Wednesday. He does well every time he's in front of a microphone. The only time in his Bears career that he has made a major misstep in public relations was this story coming out at all.
Right.
And there was some acknowledgement of that today by him that this was not ideal, that this was a self-sparked fire that was really unnecessary and really kind of a distraction and regrettable by him to let these thoughts be out there publicly. Direct quotes from him and his dad talking about their fears and their maybe preference to avoid going to the Bears was a big mistake. In talking about it, I mean, he didn't just sit there and wait and say, okay, go ahead. And, you know, let's see what you guys want to ask. He hit it head on with like a 4-minute opening statement addressing all of it, which I appreciate. It wasn't a speech. It wasn't reading off a teleprompter. I mean, he gets to say his side of this. He doesn't need us to ask him questions for him to put his, to say his side of it. The questions help nail down some specifics and some, get some clarity on some issues. And I thought there wasn't a single question that he turned away.
No.
I think this was a pretty good example of how to handle something like this, except for the fact that it took them 2 weeks to do it. Yeah, I still don't understand why this couldn't have been done, and it shouldn't have, and it should have been done the day after. When this story comes out on a Thursday and he's in town, you are perfectly set up to bring him into the building that night, talk through everything he's going to get asked, put him in front of a microphone the next day on a Friday. And that doesn't make the story go away. Today didn't. Wednesday, him talking is not going to make the story go away, but it quiets it down significantly.
Yeah. And, you know, Ben Johnson said last week that he wanted to get out in front of it. And I had the same reaction, which was, if you wanted to get out in front of it, you could have gotten out in front of it 4 or 5 days earlier. And, you know, maybe the Bears reacting that way. I don't know what the harm in that would have been. To me, I thought the smartest thing he did, Jason, was he didn't fight the facts of the case here. You know, he admitted that he liked his meeting with the Vikings. He admitted that he was nervous about coming to Chicago. And he said, you know, those are facts, you know, looking at the history of the team and how they've done with quarterbacks. He essentially says, you know, there are facts out there that are totally justify me being concerned. And then he said, you know, the thing on top of that that people have overlooked is that I thought these thoughts, I did this homework, and I decided to come anyway, more or less.
Yeah.
And I thought that that was a smart approach, in part because coming out and blaming the author is not good business, in part because I believe the author fact checked all these things, and that, you know, we have all sat there and have listened to people talk about being taken out of context. And that is typically not the way you want to go about apologizing.
It's usually not true.
Yeah.
It just usually simply isn't true.
It's a crock.
Especially a reputable reporter or author like Seth Wickersham. That's not a good tactic. That's not a good diversionary tactic to say, well, it's their fault or they misconstrued. I said, and it's so rarely true. If it is true, we should hear that, but it's so rarely true. And Pat, in the excerpts of this that we saw, there was so much context. It was so clear from reading it at the time that this was not taken out of context because all of the context was provided. I thought you were really on top of your game Wednesday in terms of question asking, because every question I'm thinking of where he responded to, as I'm thinking it through, I'm like, I think Patrick asked that question, because another one was a question that I believe I had asked Caleb 6 months ago about, hey, isn't this the coming to life of all your concerns about the Bears? Everything that's happened? I mean, you got here and there's no offensive line and the coach gets fired and the offensive coordinator gets fired and there's total disarray and you go 5-12 and you're exhausted and exasperated by the end of your rookie season, much like Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky before you. And he said no. How did you interpret that Wednesday when he said that no, this wasn't all of his fears being validated in that first year?
I'll read you the quote. It wasn't at a point where I looked at it and it was like, I knew this would happen. Nobody, I think, would sit back, and especially after you go 4-2 in the first 6 weeks, you don't sit back and wonder and ponder on the bad. You face it when the bad comes, and that's what we did. I read that as maybe he saw the second half of the season coming, but you know, he makes a good point. They went into the bye week 4-2 after kicking the snot out of the Jaguars. And I think all of us thought, oh my God, you know, the Bears might be in for something pretty intriguing in the second half. And then, you know, Tyreek Stevenson decides to taunt some fans and the Bears decide to give up a Cardinals handoff for a touchdown. And all of a sudden the season goes down the drain pretty quickly. I think he did a good job across the board, and not just in that answer. Like I said, in you know, he doesn't say, no, I didn't see this coming. But he said, who among us could claim? And I think he was really smart the way he used his words. And the other thing, you know, to my point earlier, where he talked about Bears history, he said, there hasn't been a 4,000-yard passer. There's all these different things that come up. Being able to have those thoughts is, I think, fair. And that's absolutely correct, Jason. And if anything, part of what has gotten people riled up here is that having those thoughts is not only fair, having those thoughts, you know, he was proven correct, you know, at least in his first year. And I think that's why this has struck a chord with people. Not that he had these crazy fears, but that the thing that he thought might happen did.
Letting those thoughts go public is the big problem.
Yeah. And I don't think what people understand, or I think what people don't understand is, you know, I'm sure every draft pick wants to go to one of five teams, you know, teams in South Florida or Tampa, teams in good tax states, and teams with good quarterbacks that win playoff games. And unfortunately, you know, there are 26 others or 27 others. And, you know, I think the idea that Caleb was drafted by a team that wouldn't be his first choice is not particularly newsworthy. I think the fact that he and his father debated napalming the city of Chicago because of that. Now that's the action that I think makes this rise to more than just a gossipy sort of one day story.
Well, it's also, I mean, everything in life that you decide to do, you probably have some reservations about. And for you or me, a normal person, and for any quarterback that doesn't invite an author and reporter to be embedded with them for all of this, it's just an internal monologue or a private conversation that you're having with your wife or your agent or your parent, whoever advises you. To have all that go public, to have your kind of, you know, pros and cons list for going to the Bears go public is a major mistake. And I hope that Caleb can learn from that without interpreting it as a signal that he should kind of shut himself down as a personality, because he's been a phenomenal personality, both for the media, for the Bears, and just for the city to enjoy from a content perspective. I mean, I'm sure that Bears fans are so much more interested in hearing him talk after a game than they ever were with Trubisky or Fields.
You and I talked about this last year. Caleb Williams is really comfortable being Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams seems to really enjoy the hell out of being Caleb Williams. And I think when you take both of those things and combine them with the fact that he is a skilled communicator, that's a really good combination for us selfishly and for fans in general. I thought he was himself today. You know, we talk about, you know, it was about 15 minutes. you know, maybe the first 3 minutes was this opening statement he gave in which he really was nervous. And you could tell that he was kind of talking in circles a little bit, even by his own standards. And then by the end, you know, at the end, he finishes it by smiling and saying, "All right, thank you, everybody. Da Bears," and runs off. And, you know, this was by far the most serious press conference he's ever had to have as a Bear.
It's true.
And I had written at some point today, it was his most serious one as a pro. And I'm not sure that's the case, because you remember at the combine, Jason, he got up, you know, and the point of his speech at the combine was, "I'm willing to go to Chicago or anywhere else that wants me." And remember, he got shouted out by a reporter calling him a coward for not wanting to go run around in the dome. Do you remember this?
I don't remember that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
They wanted him to do the passing drills at the combine.
Yeah.
Oh, someone at the you mean at that podium, somebody yelled it?
Yeah. A reporter.
Yes. Yeah. I do remember that.
Yeah. And that was serious, because that was kind of the NFL world's introduction to Caleb Williams as a personality. Remember, he did not play in the bowl game with USC, and he did not really talk to anybody publicly until that point. So that was probably more serious. But, you know, even this thing today where he had a job to do, and that job was to try to douse this fire, he let his personality come out a little bit. That's a good sign.
He did a very good job of talking about this in a way that it will not keep coming up locally from us. I think if I was him, I might even straight up say, "Hey, I'll take all your questions on this, but today's the last day I'm doing this." And he said that without saying it, because he really answered everything there was to answer. If they said, if the Bears sent out an email and said, "Hey, Caleb's available again tomorrow, Thursday. Why don't you guys come back out?" I don't think we would just continue on with this line of questioning. He was up there long enough. He gave complete enough answers to the questions. And he didn't, most importantly, he didn't veto any question. And he didn't cut it off after three or four and say, "Okay, I'm done. If you guys want to talk about something else, let's talk about something else." He didn't do any of that. I think he did this in a way that it will probably not come up in a press conference again until week one.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe. I get back to this is, you know, he said that he wanted to talk about it because he wanted to put it to rest. I think it's going to come up in training camp. I think it's certainly going to come up the week of the Monday Night Football game against the same Vikings team that he wanted to go to.
I think week one. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's obvious. And I also think that if he struggles, it may come up again. And I think this story is only as strong as how well he plays.
Well, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And that if Bears fans decide that they've had enough of him, or if they get frustrated by him, or, you know, you've got that lunatic fringe that is going to call for Tyson Bagent the minute there's a fumble or something like that, I'm sure it'll be thrown back in his face that it's not just that he wanted to go somewhere else. It's that he wanted to go to one of the three teams that Bears fans care about beating.
Yeah, I think that the ultimate judgment on this is going to be, like you said, how well he plays.
Yep.
If Caleb has a great season and a great career and the Bears win while he's their quarterback, this is going to be mostly forgotten about. I don't even know if you could say this will be a footnote. This really might not come up again if everything goes well. I do think that the way that this affects him in public perception is that if things don't go well, he has given away through this storm, as he put it, some of the benefit of the doubt that he might have gotten.
Yeah. I mean,
I think there will be a little bit of a grudge, and it will not be like it was last year, where it's like, "Hey, you know, this isn't the kid's fault. We love the kid. The kid plays hard. The kid's talented. It's the Bears' fault." Now that he has, you know, aired out some of those thoughts that he had, I think that there will be a little less leeway on that side of it for him.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, that was, I think, going to be the case either way. Now that Ben Johnson's here, if Caleb struggles, you know, people may look around and wonder what the common denominator from last year and this year was, and it'd be Caleb, you know. I think he'll be a lot better with Ben than he was without him. And I think that the odds of him, you know, the Bears idea, it very much seems like like what the Bears wanted to get across about this is kind of, well, all's well that ends well. We've got Ben Johnson. He's the one Caleb Williams wanted. He's the one that Caleb had to pull over on the side of the road and scream like crazy when they hired him, the same way he screamed like crazy, you know, when he got drafted. You know, all's well that ends well, we've got Ben Johnson. But that kind of only works if they play well together and if they play well, I don't want to say out of the chute, but, you know, reasonably quickly.
Yeah. And that, you know, one half of this is the Bears getting everything right around him. Better offensive line, expensive veterans on the offensive line, better coaching staff by anybody's standards. This is the head coach that everybody in the league wanted for their vacancy the last 3 years. And, you know, they spent their top two draft picks, mm-hmm. I believe, on the offensive players for him.
Yep.
I mean, everything would seem to be there. They seem to have done their part at this point. Late, but done. The other half of it now is Caleb. Is Caleb going to take to all of this? Is Caleb going to accept coaching and play with his left foot forward and, you know, see the game the way Ben Johnson sees it, not hold on to the ball so long, learn from Case Keenum how to study film? And Pat, if we set aside this whole hullabaloo about the ESPN story.
Ooh, that's a good word.
I mean, don't you have a very bright outlook for Caleb Williams' big picture anyway? Caleb Williams showed a lot of talent in his first year. He showed a lot of promise. There were a lot of times where he made significant progress with very little help, with next to no help from the coaching staff that the Bears admitted was incompetent by the end of November by firing them, and with one of the worst offensive lines in the league, which, you know, they kept saying, don't blame the O-line, don't blame the O-line. And then they, by their transactions, blamed the O-line. He is a guy who I think last year, even in the middle of all of that, was accountable for his part in it. And he's a guy who has worked relentlessly at this profession since he was 9 or 10 years old. This is not someone who's had things handed to him just because he came from money. This is someone who has been doing the work for that long and would have no interest in the self-sabotage of laziness.
Nope.
I think that Caleb Williams, the combination of the talent, the proper infrastructure around him, and the humility to understand what he needs to improve, and what I have seen, Pat, as an excellent work ethic, all adds up to a guy that's going to be a really, really good quarterback in the big picture.
Yeah, I'm going to buy your Caleb Williams stock if anybody's selling it. I think that he has a chance to really take off. You talk about work ethic, and you're right, but there is a difference between getting in early and leaving late and being as efficient as you can with your time. And that is one thing that I think Ben Johnson's going to help him with. I think he's going to be better at watching film by virtue of not being a rookie anymore, but also by virtue of having somebody there with a level of expertise that probably wasn't there last year. And I think his ability to diagnose what he sees on defense and his ability to refer to the Rolodex of defenses that he gained in his head last year, I think he is going to be a better football player and a much smarter football player than he was as a rookie.
He's also going to be coached probably for the first time since he was maybe middle school, high school. For the first time in a long time, he's going to be coached as though he is not a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be Ben Johnson. Now, Ben Johnson said in his introductory press conference that the biggest reason he came here was for Caleb Williams.
Right.
But Ben Johnson came here for what Caleb Williams can be, not for what he already is. Because what he already is, what he did last year is not really enough. It has to be just the starting point on where he's headed. Ben Johnson is not going to be afraid to tell him things he doesn't want to hear. And I think, unlike the way he has been coached in college and the pros to this point, he is going to be taught as though the coach's way is the right way. And that's not a knock on Caleb Williams, but the plan is for Caleb Williams to learn to play quarterback Ben Johnson's way.
Yep. And Ben Johnson will light him up if he doesn't. And we've seen that at practice. Today, whether they were too slow getting in and out of the huddle, we saw Cole Kmet line up in the wrong spot a week ago, and Ben Johnson stops practice very loudly and there is no question as to who's in charge. And I don't think we saw that in recent years.
I want to talk about the huddle thing for a second, actually, if we have a minute for that. Yep. So I remember when Justin Fields was a rookie, Matt Nagy was so hung up on the way Justin Fields relayed the call in the huddle. And I remember thinking that's really pointless. Like, this guy's a polished quarterback. He played in the Big Ten. He played for national championships. I mean, he doesn't need to be treated like he's a project or like he's a fifth grader. And they would have Justin Fields go home and practice saying the calls into his iPhone and then send it into the coaches. That seemed excessive. But what Ben Johnson did today, Wednesday, that seemed different to me was he wants the play said in the huddle a certain way. And then he also wants the huddle that he wanted them to break the huddle in a way that says, we mean business.
Yep.
And to me, that is an attentiveness to the effort level and enthusiasm and the body language a little bit of saying, this is how we operate all the time, no matter what, full speed, full enthusiasm.
Yeah. You mentioned body language too. You know, Ben talked about, yeah, he sat down and talked to Caleb Williams about his body language. Yeah. He showed him film of last year in which his body language sucked. And hey, we got to get better at that. As you mentioned in your story, and it's a great point. Yeah. DJ Moore. I bet DJ Moore's had that same conversation.
Caleb Williams did not have bad body language last year, in my opinion.
I don't know. I think there
he got raked for one thing nationally, which was the game at the Vikings. He was kind of rolling like this, Pat. This isn't going to be good for our listeners, but he's kind of twisting and turning on the bench a little bit and kind of flailing a little bit. And he was kind of criticized as being over dramatic or kind of pitiful or whatever. I think he was hurt and he was trying to find a way to position his back in a way that it didn't hurt. Yeah. I think that's all it was. His body language was not bad for a rookie. It was not up to standards as a championship level quarterback, because a championship level quarterback is sending a signal to the other 52 player or the other 44 players. What is it? How many guys are active?
Yeah, 46.
It's sending a message to everybody about what we think right now. If you want to know what we think, the entire coaching staff and roster, it's what I think as the quarterback. And what I think is I'm popping right back up after I get hit. We're getting right back in the huddle and we're going for the next play. You carry so much more responsibility than just for yourself. He did not have the body language issues that DJ Moore had, for example. But I think there's this teaching point from Ben Johnson of, when you're the quarterback, your body language can't just be in the acceptable range.
Right.
Your body language has to be leading. It has to be the example everybody else will follow. And I don't think that's silly. I think that's a good point.
I also think that as somebody who played the Bears twice a year, I'm sure Ben Johnson can sit there and say, we looked over and saw your bench and knew you were done when you did something like that. Or, you know, we knew we were in your head when you did X, Y, or Z. And I think that there's value there in the way that he can share that.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah. And especially in May, when there's only so much you can do physically, when there's only so much time you have, if you can have a meeting in which you talk about body language, that's a pretty good use of your time. Because once things pick up in July, I don't think you're going to have that sort of time blocked out in your day to worry about things that aren't on the field.
Have you noticed, by the way, with Ben Johnson, he's very aware and perceptive of kind of the media and the narrative around him, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It came up Wednesday in the example that we're talking about right now, where he stopped practice multiple times because he didn't like the way they broke the huddle. And when he was asked about that, one of the explanations he gave for that is, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm not just going to let that go and let practice go south from there.
Right.
I'm not going to, essentially what he's saying is, if you can't as a coach come in and say, everything matters, we're going to get every detail right. If we are focused on doing every little thing right, then we will definitely do every big thing right. And then let the players decide which things matter and which things don't. You can't do that. That's inconsistent. And it's going to totally undermine what you're trying to teach. I think that he truly believes if he lets something like that slide, it will set the precedent of it's okay to let things slide. And it's okay to let the rest of our practice be kind of not half-hearted, but maybe 80% hearted because, you know, it's up to you guys which things are important and which things aren't.
Yeah. No, I thought you were going to talk about the other way that he showed.
That was funny too. But I think that the example that I'm highlighting is a kind of it's a direct way of talking about the issues that they had with Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron last year. Everybody that hears that knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And the what players, was the part you liked?
And the players want to hear it too. The players were the ones screaming after 3 weeks last year, begging Shane Waldron to coach them hard.
Stop allowing us to have sloppy practices.
Yeah. Like, well, you asked for it and you got it now. No, I thought you were going to say about the end of the press conference. Did you catch this? When Ben Johnson got up and said, I love these guys. And
yes.
Do you know what that's the punchline for?
Yes, I do. But tell everybody that might not.
I will tell the people last week when Ben got in front of this Caleb thing and had a pretty pretty good press conference, particularly compared to what Matt Eberflus used to do when there was a problem. he leaves the room and everybody yeah. gets up to go get their stuff. And I believe it was Sylvie.
Yes, Sylvie, it was.
Who said loud enough for the microphones to pick up, I love this guy. And so today, Sylvie wasn't in the room.
And it kind of went viral.
Yeah, it went viral. And even though Sylvie wasn't there today, Ben Johnson, I guess, gave it right back to him with a, I love these guys. We'll see how long that lasts, by the way.
Everybody loves us till they start losing.
Yes, yeah. Or apparently until you ask a question about his father, who's also his agent. But never mind. That's a different topic. Jason, that'll do it from here. We will be out at mandatory minicamp, Jason. It is mandatory. So we almost
for go. Us too. Is it mandatory for both of us? Okay.
Yes. Next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then the veterans go home for vacation. And then the Bears bring the rookies back for one more OTA the following week. I'm sure we'll do something from there, but until then you can follow Jason and I on social media, check us out on the Sun-Times website. And if you live in town, buy a paper. He's Jason. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.